timeout. They had burned their timeouts midway through the first quarter, two of them. But who cares?
I don't have a problem with that. He didn't control the ball all the way down. I understand. Maybe here's the thing. Again, nobody knows what a catch is, and we think that that's the rule in the college game, but we don't really know because they usher in a slew of rule changes every year now.
Right.
So who knows what the college rule is on a catch right now?
Rayon Unpokey quotes Josh Dobbs as saying about the downfield passing, "We're never concerned. We understand our skills and capabilities. We'll be ready next week." Appy State Taylor Lamb said, "You can point out the opportunities where we should have won the football game. It's going to sting for a while." I believe that. Dobbs said, "We're going to make corrections, and we'll be ready to go next week on our passing game." 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Dobbs on his fumble in overtime. I thought I was in. And then I saw Jalen dive on the ball and said, "All right, we scored. We're good. We scored." He thought he initially scored. He was a good yard away. He wasn't even close to scoring there. He wasn't even close to scoring. We'll go back to the phones, get as many people in here as humanly possible. And if you want to get in with us tonight, this is, ladies and gentlemen, your... In fact, let's reset. Let's reset things for you tonight, shall we? Let's reset things for you on this beautiful, glorious Friday morning here in the city of soon-to-be SEC champions.
You're listening to the best post-game fan show in college football. The Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Today's show made possible by the Garza Law Firm. Big Orange fans deserve to have a voice and equal justice under the law.
Before you say guilty, call Garza.
Treating clients like family, online at GarzaLawFirm.com. Now, here's your host, Tony Basilio.
My name's Tony Basilio. He's Russell Smith. This is, ladies and gentlemen, your Smart Way Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. It is a place today, ladies and gentlemen, and a night for you to talk about it right here. We're here as long as the last caller is there. So I'm here till last call goes down. As we welcome you back, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. I think I just fixed my audio. I think I just fixed it. I turned it up to, I had it tuned. You know what I do? I got a bad habit of this. I didn't mean to distort my audio for the folks that it got distorted on. I'm sorry, y'all. Okay. Well, I'm better now. Russell, don't let me turn that monitor audio up, okay? Thank you.
Don't turn that monitor audio up.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been reminded.
Thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
Thanks. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as we humanly can on a night when Tennessee survives and advances. Some of the numbers from tonight. Tennessee, 319 total yards in the football game.
God.
They rush for 127. They pass for 192. Tennessee commits six penalties in tonight's game, all of them costly, for 55 yards, all of them ill-timed. The Vols with 19 first downs. Tennessee, at the end of the third quarter, was losing the total yards battle to App State. They ended up winning it 319 to 292. App State possessed the football tonight for 33 minutes and 29 seconds and still lost the game. We let them have the ball for 33 minutes and 29 seconds. How about this one?
Felt like they had the ball the entire first half.
They had five tackles for losses. We had six. They had two sacks. How many sacks we have tonight, Dubs? Let's see how good you are.
Believe that would be a big, fat zero.
That's incredible. Let's go back to the phones.
We heard so much about this vaunted defensive line and the depth out there. Oh, we're going to see Ngbo and McKenzie and Tuttle and Johnson and all these guys. Kendall Vickers and Danny O'Brien played a lot of snaps. I don't recall seeing Daryl Taylor or the kid from the mid-state who hurt his shoulder last year.
Nope.
I saw a lot of LaTroy Lewis and Corey Vereen out there.
Weren't a lot of kids flying around.
It was the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
and let me give you another thought.
Only the names have changed.
Let me give you another thought in light of, Russell, the situation with Reeves Maben. Why are you, now that you've got depth, why are you playing those guys on special teams? Let some of your kids play on your coverage teams. Why are you even risking him there?
Maybe it's
a senior football player.
Nigel Warrior.
He's a senior football player. Why would you have him out there on a coverage team? Let your kids do that. It's what you have depth for.
I kind of like
it. Am I wrong?
I like having your best players out there
okay.
on special teams.
All right. Let's go to the phones. What's your risk, though? You risk an injury. That's a very thin unit. You risk injury. You're wearing and tearing your guys. And you risk that. What happened tonight? Let's go. Especially in a game where one hit and you're out of the game, and they're calling everything now.
You watch Urban Meyer. He's won 3 national championships. He'll play all kinds of starters on his special teams, and he has a great kicking game.
Let's go to the phones, Gary. Next call in. Hello and welcome.
Yeah, it worked out great for us last year with Kurt Majette, didn't it, Dub?
Yeah.
Having him on special teams.
Yep.
What are you talking about, Russell W?
I mean,
why? Wait, Maven's out there? He's coming off a shoulder injury?
Yeah. Yep.
He didn't get hurt. I mean, we're going to coach scared now. We're not going to play our best players because they might be hurt. I mean,
on special teams where the collisions are like.
I would revisit that.
I agree with you, Tom. I don't know. I mean, a win's a win's a win. I mean, we were really, really lucky, and the App State team came ready to play. That's for sure.
Boy, they did.
That Chance Hall injury's looking larger and larger. I mean, cause Coleman Thomas got blasted tonight. That one play where that guy beat Coleman Thomas and then beat Jalen Hurd. And then slung Josh Dobbs like he was a rag doll. I mean, it's all time. And where were Kamara's touches in the first half? And why do they still insist on trying to run Jalen Hurd east and west when they've got Kamara over there, when they pick, flip him the ball? I mean, he's up to cruising speed quick. And he cuts that corner and ends up, 8 yards down. The play calling was just really bad tonight, I thought.
I don't think that our offensive coordinator could have had a worse night.
It's so strange because they're just pounding in the rock and pounding.
Yeah.
Then they hit the bomb to Malone.
Right.
And then the next time they come out and it's just throwing it all over the place, like just abandoning the run game. There's no balance to it at all.
And what was weird about that series was it was doomed from the very beginning. That was, in fact, they had two, they followed that touchdown. Here's what we're conditioned to thinking. Okay, you've slogged your way around the game. We all know that. You tie the game. Now you've got, 7.5 to go in the game, and everybody in the stadium's thinking, okay, the next time we get the football, we're going to just take control of the game and put the game away. That's what you're conditioned to think. That's what App State thought would happen. What's Tennessee do? They come out with a purposeless drive. Two horrendous, horrendous play calls. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, it's the bottom
put
line.
Put the damn game away
Johnny
there.
Majors or Phil Fulmer, David Cutcliffe, or hell, even Randy Sanders, that are coaching over there anymore.
Yeah, DeBoard's tough. He's tough to watch sometimes.
They ran a screen pass in the third quarter right before on the third down when they kicked their second field goal.
Right.
It was the slowest developing screen pass I have ever
seen. Wow. You do that against Georgia's defense, brah.
Oh, they're picking it off and taking it the other way.
I'm telling you.
You do that against any SEC defense. It's lights out. Party's over.
What do you guys think Bud Foster is thinking right
but like
now?
But like a buddy of ours said,
he's got a tingly feeling.
Like a guy said on Periscope, watch us in the UK tonight, and he's right about this. When you don't throw the ball downfield 10 plus yards, that's easy as pie to defend. we got to be so easy to defend because we don't throw the ball over top of teams. See, Alabama, they use some of our system, but you know what Lane Kiffin does with it? They'll throw the ball over top of you. You've got to throw the ball downfield.
That's how we won a national championship.
Why would I honor you?
The throw we can consistently make was,
right,
you know, 30-plus yards, and that meant that they, you know, these teams couldn't walk the safety up and put nine in the box.
Poor DeBoard.
Travis Stevens and Travis Henry, and,
I mean,
you know. But
Dobbs is no great shakes at quarterback. He's just not. But he doesn't get much help from his coaches. And he holds the ball way too much back there. Where is the quarterback coaching? Where is it?
It's non-existent, Tony. He hasn't had any coaching. He still makes the same mistakes with his footwork. He's never been coached. I mean, it's frustrating because the guy's probably one of the better athletes that's ever played over there. And we'd all agree on that. I mean, the kid, you know, he's a fantastic athlete, but he's never been coached or taught how to play quarterback at this level. And it's just, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, Russell talks about Butch's evil twin brother, Botch, and, you know, we talked about it the other day, Russell. We thought that maybe Butch had, you know, had killed him off, but apparently, you know, Botch, like Night of the Living Dead, he showed up before the game started tonight. He tumbled in the locker room and went out there for the first edge. That was just awful.
Awful. That was.
It's crazy, though. I've never seen the thing that surprised me the most was that I come to expect, and he's never let us down, is, you know, his teams have always come out ready to play. I mean, we may have been overmatched the past 3 years because of our, you know, the lack of recruiting that Dooley did. We just didn't have the players, but they were always ready to play. But they weren't tonight.
No, they weren't. So, and they weren't ready in the third quarter either. The third quarter was a mystifying quarter of football for me. From an offensive standpoint, it was just mystifying to watch that.
Well, you're thinking they're gonna, all right, Butch is gonna come and read them the riot act at halftime. They're
right.
Gonna come out with their hair on fire to get the ball first. They're gonna go right down the field.
Cram it down,
they get
the ball.
And, I mean, it was
and the execution. Just, and you made a great point earlier. It's senior football players tonight that were doing it. It was veteran players, and these guys in the Butch Jones era have been so well coached, and they've done the little things so well. And the truth is, tonight, App State did all the little things to win tonight's game, and Tennessee did hardly any of them.
Well, they had,
and they still got out of there with a win.
They had Tennessee.
Hey,
game plan
I'll tell you, on a positive,
perfection.
Guys,
perfection.
You know who did step up and have a pretty good game, and he came up big right there in the overtime. With maybe, you know, might be the play of the game is, the kid is it Cortez McDowell, the kid that had to replace.
I agree with that. Had a nice,
I mean,
had a nice night.
He laid the damn wood to that guy over on the side. The guy that had been gassing up all night.
Yep.
And then he didn't gash us. I mean, that may have been the play of the game. Cause that guy was looking to square his shoulders and, you know, shake it and go on into the end zone.
Yep. Shake it, don't bake it, brother. Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
If you think about it, a guy on Twitter's right, Jason Burgess, they hit every one of Nealon's maxims tonight. App State did.
It's our guy.
Except they didn't win the kicking game, brah.
Jason Burgess down there in Houston now, former team sports radio employee. Shout out to Jay Burge.
We got to say this, ladies and gentlemen, and then I'm bringing Bino the Great in here. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, as portions of tonight's program are presented by our friends at Moosehead. Say it, know it, and write it on down.
It's time for the Moosehead Moose of the Game. Honoring the most bruising player in today's game. Presented by Moosehead Lager. Brewing winners since 1867. Pour yourself a cold one. Now, let's give it up for your Moosehead Moose of the Game.
Outlast. Outlast, ladies and gentlemen. Outlast. Moosehead. Dubsy, who is our Moosehead Moose of the Game this evening?
I think you got to give it to Jalen Hurd for jumping on that fumble and saving the game, maybe Tennessee's season there at the end.
Jalen Hurd, congratulations. 28 attempts, 110 yards, and a touchdown in tonight's football game. Was it a rushing touchdown? It's a touchdown.
Well, you give it, and, you know, it's not a great.
What a night!
It's not a great average per carry.
No,
but you got to think. I mean, again, we go back to DeBoard and just the unimaginative play calling. He didn't help him out a lot. I mean,
he could have easily
Appy State saw that coming a mile away.
He could have easily tonight, easily had his head down tonight, Russell, on that play
when
and he kept his head up. Stayed in the game, stayed with it, and made a play when it mattered. And for that, congratulations, Jalen Hurd. You win a free Seiko watch, and now you're ineligible from the NCAA. Congratulations. Our Moosehead, Moose of the game. Speaking of Mooseheads, and what happened to my boy Bino? Bino was there, and now he's dropped. I wanted to get Bino in here.
He's having a Moosehead.
Well, there you go. Good night, Dubsy. It's just one of those nights, man. Mm. But our lines are currently jammed. Yeah. Dubsy, can you believe you could have a talk show, and it's 12:30 at night, and all lines are currently jammed? Like, what's wrong with people?
You got more phone lines since the last time I was in here.
I do. We're operating on
six lines.
Good
Lord.
Howard
Stern over
it's
here.
It's the Empire. It's the Empire. Beanstar, get in here, brother. How you doing?
Tony B. Dubsy, how are you guys tonight?
The atmosphere.
It's been a heck of a lot worse, I'll tell you that.
Talk to me. The atmosphere, talk to me here. Give me your first thoughts, and then we'll go to the phones.
What was it like walking out of there tonight, Bino?
It was just absolute relief. Everyone knowing that we dodged a bullet, dodged a loss that could have just been absolutely devastating. In my lifetime, guys, there would have been only one loss that was even comparable, and that would have been North Texas State. Appy State's a good football team. They're a good Sun Belt football team. The problem was we made it look like we were one of their conference members rather than a Power 5 football team. And the win's beautiful, and everything else was really, really ugly.
It was incomparable how dumb tonight was, Beanstar. You know it?
Yeah, and you know, Tony, we've talked many times about how Tennessee and Michigan's programs mirror each other, and we almost mirrored them too much tonight. I really thought my biggest issue was that Appalachian State was able to do the things that they do well in the Sun Belt against us. You know, they were sixth leading rushing team in America, and they ran the ball effectively against us. They've been a good red zone team, and when they got down there, they scored early. We were fortunate that they had a field goal kicker that had never played in a college game before, basically, and his own coach asked him, and the SEC officials asked him, and he was unable to put the game away. But the Tennessee's kids found a way to win, and God bless them, got a fourth down stop, which we didn't do all last year.
Bino, there's no way in hell we win this game last year. So that's one. That's one thing to take away from it. And I don't apologize. You know what? If you're an App State fan listening, and I'll bet you chances are Dale Jones probably has his headphones in when they get on that bus, and he'll be listening to us because he listens. Dale, I got to tell you, I tip my cap to you guys. My heart breaks for those kids. I'm glad we won the game. They did so many things to deserve to win that game, Bino. I tip my cap to my opponent tonight. I think they did what they needed to do to win that game, but I'm not apologizing to anybody for that win. But it was in our time together, Bino, that might have been the ugliest win we've ever seen. I mean, it doesn't get any uglier than your senior quarterback, for some reason taking the ball in overtime, and he's at the 4-yard line and stretching out like that. What are you doing? Where is that play going?
He almost went full Pig Howard.
It was Pig Howard was trying to make a play and win a game.
You never go full Pig Howard, Tony.
Where was this kid going with that ball, Bino? Where was he going?
Yeah. Tony, there were just so many things that are uncharacteristic that we did. You guys have talked about the penalties and the lack of discipline and the fact that we just weren't ready to play. Those are things we haven't seen. And Josh made two plays tonight that were just, they were just unintelligent plays. Toward the end of the half, you throw that football away. There's no way in the world you try to heave it down through there. You know, we've got a chance to kick a field goal or go for it on fourth down rather than just throwing the ball away there toward the end of the first half. And then you know, if it would have been fourth down, that play would have been understandable that he made it to goal line, but not on third down. On third down, you get down at the 1 yard line and try to punch it in to take the lead on fourth down.
Tonight's game was,
Well, you kicked the field goal there. That's what, I mean, they probably would have kicked the field goal, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I would have hoped not, but yes, we probably would have from the 1 yard line.
We stay alive and live to fight another day, and next week, for the Battle of Bristol, we're going to have a listener watch party, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be at Windy City Grill in Maryville. Next week, we will, thank you to our friends at Miller Lite for letting us be out there. And we're going to have us a great time at the Windy City Grill in beautiful Maryville. And I'm hoping that the County of Champions will bring us some luck next week. I got to tell you something, guys. Game one and game two don't relate. They never do. They never do. And I've been told, I have a guy that's steep in Tennessee history share one thing with me. I was there the night Tennessee slogged around and looked terrible against Colorado State in 89 and took a team that was pretty young, that was expected to get blowed out at UCLA, mm-hmm. and it was one of the games, Bino, that was on video seat pay review, for those of you who remember those days, and they beat the living hell out of UCLA, a very good UCLA, supposedly.
Was Troy Aikman quarterback on that?
He was just out of there. Incidentally, the guy who played quarterback that night, his girlfriend played tennis at Tennessee, and one of the walk-ons on Tennessee's team was cheating with never mind. It's a long story.
I'm sure you had to be there. I'm sure the players didn't vocalize that on the field.
Oh, no, I'm sure not. Hey, we saw your girlfriend the other... Hey, Bino, any other observations before I go back to the phones?
Well, Tony, I've heard some talk about Shoup, and it's understandable. My problem wasn't so much that I didn't see the pressure that we all heard about, because I'm not sure that App State's offense is one that allows you to put a lot of pressure on them. They don't do much in the pocket. I was more disappointed. I thought we were out-schemed more than we were beat at the line of scrimmage. They were running plays, and they would have two blockers to one defender. I thought we ran ourselves out and we were mispositioned a whole lot more than I worried about us being. We may have been over aggressive tonight rather than not aggressive enough.
Interesting. That App State team and what they do offensively is so, what's the word I'm looking for, guys? They are so unconventional.
They're precise.
And they're precise. And they know what they're doing, and they're well coached. And those jet sweeps were perfect, perfect, perfect calls.
And the counters to Cox, basically they were running where we didn't have anybody. We had overrun the play.
It was beautiful play. It was beautiful football.
I question Shoup, but it's not the question that I've heard other people have tonight.
So the over.
Yeah, I just think we got out schemed.
Too much.
That's even worse.
I think that our coordinators on both lines of scrimmage, well, let me give you my direct quote from tomorrow's blog, which I will publish here in a mere matter of moments. You guys tell me if I'm right or wrong. App State executed, they believed. They outcoached Tennessee from pillar to post last night. It was a complete ass-kicking with the headsets and X's and O's. The third quarter was all-time forgettable from an execution game plan standpoint. App State really deserved to win that game. Where am I wrong? Dubsy. It was a complete ass kicking.
Yeah, I mean, they made all the
from their coaches
all the right moves out there. I think that, you know, Tennessee's talent won out in the end, but just barely. I mean, the touchdown, it's just, well, we've got Josh Malone. He's a little bit bigger than you. You know, it wasn't a great throw by Dobbs.
No.
Touchdown is, we've got Jalen Hurd and you don't.
Here's the thing we know about Dobbs. He's never going to be that great arm guy. He's just not. No. But he's always played within himself since he's been here. He was trying to do too much tonight. It was weird.
Yeah,
tonight's game was
weird
from that standpoint, and that kind of worries me.
Well, I've blamed the coaching staff a lot over the last year for not trusting Dobbs, not allowing him to do certain things, and I still feel that way to some point. But tonight he kind of gave him reason not to trust him. I guess the things you take out of it is we do have some big play capabilities. We need to try it more than we've been trying it. I mean, you got to throw the ball downfield some, and you let those guys like Josh Malone make a play.
Let's go back
like he did tonight.
We'll go back to our phones. All lines are currently jammed. Beano the Great is with me. He'll be with me tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time right here at TonyBasilio.com. And Dubsy, you're on tomorrow. Where? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Be on from 3 to 6. We're going to be... Can I plug my remote?
Holding it down, baby. Go
at
ahead.
The Pint House over here in Northwest Knoxville. From 3 to 6.
Where's the Pint House?
It is on Merchant Drive.
Yes.
Right off Clinton Highway.
Yes. Can I come by and see you?
Yeah, man. Come on by.
Will you put me on the air?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll bet.
$50.
Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
You know, we wouldn't even be talking about how close it was if we just had a couple Samoans.
We need Samoans.
Shout out to Double A.
Shout out to the Samoans. Samoan Nation.
Samoans do the
JJ.
Hey, JJ. Congratulations on your new job, JJ. We're following you from afar.
Oh. Jeez, that's a corporate.
You're a corporate man, JJ.
It's ridiculous. But in this, you know, that's a good segue because this is one of those things where the coaching staff just, despite how much they're getting paid, just took a gamble like we have more talent. Let's just be as unimaginative as possible and just expect our players to win. And it's understandable if, okay, let's not take risks by putting the ball in the air. But on the ground game, how many yards does Hurd get by himself? I mean, it's the most unimaginable. You got, in theory, 11 guys on offense, and it's basically just window dressing. It's the most conventional thing, and it's not about even being conservative. Like, people want to talk about, you know, the reason why we lost against Florida was we were too conservative. We weren't conservative enough. We abandoned the running game when it was going well, just like in 2001 against LSU. We run the ball down the field for 80 yards, and then we try a fumble Ruski, and we try bringing in some receiver to run quarterback, and it's like the defense knows he's not going to throw the ball. But anyway, but it's just like there's no scheming involved. There's no imagination. You're putting everything on the players, and there was, like, no read option with Dobbs. There were so many times where he could have easily faked a handoff and then just rolled out there and got 5 yards. And my big thing is, like, on first and 10, try to get it to second and 5. Why do we continually put ourselves in position? Like, when we had the ball tied and we had the momentum, we go 3 and out. Is that not so predictable, UT? Where we give a chance to the other team to win the ball, you know.
I cannot believe our two final series guys tonight. Beano, can you believe our two final series in the fourth quarter tonight? How bad that was, just offensive football.
No, Tony, throughout the night, I thought our second and third possessions at the game, the start of the game, were awful as well. Our screen game was awful. We were getting whipped up front. we were getting outnumbered up front. I'll tell you what concerned me more than anything tonight's our offensive line play. It looked like that they've had about a 24-month regression. There's no way that Chance Hall's injury should have made that offensive line play like they did 2 years ago.
Everybody was terrible tonight on the offensive line. Just to the naked eye.
They line up like it's electric football, Tony. There's no no one in motion. There's a tight end going from the right end, going to the left end and having a misdirect. I mean, that was like just the bullshit, like, let's hand the ball off and just hope our running back out, like, runs over three or four guys for 5 yards. I mean,
Here's what I'm hoping on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. And I'm talking to you fan to fan, man to man, heart to heart here. Anybody listen to the sound of my voice? I believe we thought we can beat these guys vanilla, line it up like Doc Sinclair was saying. Hurd is bigger than their entire team. We can go out there like Jefferson at Fast Times at Ridgemont High, run all over them, pound them, do what Nebraska used to do with people. Here's the problem with Tennessee's offense if you're going to have that approach. Put a damn fullback in the game or do what they did with the Ellis kid who's now down there trying to make the Titans and use an H-back and line up and power somebody. You are so right. They give the ball to Dobbs, or to Hurd, rather, and they say, it's you against nine guys. Good luck to you. It sucks. It's so hard for him. That's the most hard-fought 111 yards you'll ever see in your life.
Absolutely. It's not fair to him.
It's not fair to him. It's abuse. It's not fair to him.
And if this was Sandlot football, you would think that the players would be able to come up with more inspirational things because they're out there in the trenches. They know what's going on. They have a better feel for it. That's where it's like really aggravating when they bring these CEO types. They take themselves so seriously, and then they end up it'd have been better off if we're just Dobbs being an aeronautical engineer. It's just like, hey, we're going to do this. But here's my last thing. I was going to try to bring up a Golden Corral. The board looks like a yeast roll with headsets on from Golden Corral.
That's awful.
That's beside the point.
Yeast
rolls are delicious.
Well, that's
though.
True. I mean, when you're having to endure that, that's what you're saturated fat. But here's the thing: when we get the damn ball, when Dobbs creates that scramble to get us first and goal at the three, how many UT fans, even though we have momentum, just speaking for myself, but how many UT fans, the first and goal of the three, are nervous that it's going to get to like fourth and one? Why in the hell on first down do you not play action from the get-go? The defense has to be committed to the run. Play action, fake the damn ball to the running back, have half the defense commit to the run, have Dobbs go out on a bootleg and give them a damn option to run it in or pass it to a tight end or someone who's, you know, trailing off, or at the worst, you throw it out of bounds and then it's second and three. But it's like, I'm so tired just watching football in general where it's first and goal at two or three and they make it so damn difficult. And it's like, oh by God, we're just going to run it down their throat.
The defense
is like, we're going to play against the run. So
that's exactly
ridiculous.
Right. It's tonight's game was absurd. And we came very close to losing a game. And here's the thing. If Tennessee loses tonight, it would have been 1,000% on that offensive coordinator.
And
that head coach who hired that offensive coordinator. And the truth is, Tennessee deserved to lose that game tonight. They deserved to lose. And here's another thought. And, Bino, you and I will argue this in the morning. If I'm defending Tennessee, I am daring Josh Dobbs to beat me. I'm daring him. Because I'm telling you guys right now, he better get better at throwing the ball or we're going to lose some games this year. Y'all can get mad at me for saying that. Everybody can get mad at me for saying that. It is the truth. He better play better than he did tonight or we're going to lose a lot of games this season because we're highly defendable. We are highly defendable because everything's in front of you. They refuse. They refuse to throw the ball over top of people. It makes no sense. I don't care if the kid can't throw a great deep ball. Throw the thing up. It's stupid. The one time they did it tonight, they were rewarded for it. It makes no sense. Bino, help me understand that. And JJ, thank you for the call. That's a great phone call. Bino, explain to me why they don't throw the freaking football up. And I know he's not a great thrower. He's not a deep thrower.
I don't know, Tony. I've told you before, and Josh didn't play well tonight. There's no question. Josh has got to play a lot better than he did tonight. But those are two different issues that you bring up. You say Josh has to throw the ball better.
Right.
They have to allow him to do certain things that they're not allowing him to do. Because you're right. People are just marching right up. They're daring us to throw it over their head, and we refuse to do it. And when we did it tonight, it's the only thing that kept us from one of the most embarrassing losses in Tennessee program history. And we really only did it once.
One time. And what happened? Touchdown. And went for a touchdown. Russell, did they go back to it at all in the last three series, or was I seeing things? Did they throw the ball up again? No. Were they trying, was DeBoer trying to lose tonight's game? Like, if I'm Butch Jones, I'm going to look at him later when they're sitting in that film room, because it's all so fast. And that is the thing about this stuff. You talk to coaches, and they'll tell you, it just happens in front of you. The great ones are the ones that can slow it down. I play a lot of music. I've been playing a lot of music out lately, and I play with some really great players, and these guys have the ability in the moment to slow the thing down. I don't. I got to practice it and get it in and, you know, do my thing. Russell, don't you think Jones goes to DeBoer and says, hey, Mike, we hit the one ball you threw. Now, we had a 7-6-inch height differential with their corners with at least two of our wide receivers. Why didn't we take another shot there? Are you shaving points? At some point, I would ask that.
You got to throw that once a quarter.
Are you trying to win the board at the S&S cafeteria, the ball board at the S&S cafeteria, where they all put a quarter down?
You got to try.
It just makes you mad. It's like, why?
By the way, the game's been over for over 2 hours now, so DeBoer should be pulling into Bristol Motor Speedway to prepare for
that's a great
game right about now. But anyway, you got to try that bomb at least once a quarter. You throw four of them a game. If you don't complete any of them, that's fine.
Yes.
But at least it opens up room for Hurd.
I asked Kippy Brown the other day on the air, how many long balls are you throwing? He goes, I'm throwing at least four or five. I mean, everybody does that. App State threw the ball at us tonight. They were trying to throw over top of us a couple times. And that's not even their game, Bino. Everybody does that.
If there's a couple of things that I don't understand at all and that I think that they're hard-headed about. We saw once again tonight the Achilles heel of this spread offense, and that's when you get down in there close, those last few yards are hard to get. When you need one and you start from seven, nobody's going to convince me that's the right way to do it. The other thing is, if we're going to run a hurry-up offense, we absolutely have to quit substituting a tight end for a tight end and one receiver, wide receiver for another wide receiver, where the referee can stand over the flipping football and basically destroy everything that we're trying to do because we made a stupid substitution.
Stupid. Stupid. I mean, pick your poison. Either play fast or be a joystick coach.
We're helping. See, Appy State did what they were supposed to. They wanted to shorten the football game. And Tony, you talked about time of possession. I don't care about time of possession because basically that's what they want to do. They're going to, a lot of their time of possession sitting there watching that play clock run,
right,
which is exactly what they should do.
Right.
We don't want to do that.
Right.
But we are forced to do that because our coach thinks we got to put one tight end in for another. One wolf for another. Leave one wolf in there, all right? One wolf's as good as the other.
Tonight we could have put Michael J. Fox in and it wouldn't have mattered. Let's go back to our phones. 48 past the hour. And here's the thing. a win's a win's a win's
Absolutely.
A win's a win's. And Kroom was hurt tonight. Somebody's asking where Kroom was. Kroom woke up this morning, Bino, and what was his malady? Because this Kroom,
he had a hip injury of some sort.
A tight hip. A tight hip, which puts him on par with some young ladies that I used to know back in the day. He's got a tight hip on him. What does that mean? A tight? You ever had a tight hip, Dubsy?
Every time I get out on the dance floor.
Let's go back to the phones. Here's the thing I don't do, Bino. I just hate stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think that we're watching the replay of the game and our
Please.
First drive?
No, I'm blocked. Williams, I'm blocked with my. Go ahead.
Is you know Preston Williams is looking good catching the ball in the first? Do you think that the wide receiver crouch takes its toll as the game goes along, and by the fourth quarter, the hips are so tight, if you will, the back is kind of you know scoliosis is beginning to take effect that Tennessee's receivers can't get off the line.
Fairways and Greens. I want to thank my friends at Smartway and also your Garza Law Firm. And for some reason, I just said Fairways and Greens. I give them a special shout, too. GarzaLaw.com, Marcos Garza and his talented people that he has there are awesome. I mean, these are awesome, awesome people. Online at GarzaLaw.com. They treat their clients like family. I should know. I am a client of theirs, and they are incredible at what they do. They are incredible at what they do. And Garza Law, go online, GarzaLaw.com. And before you say guilty, if you get pulled over by the popo, you say Garza. Before you say guilty, you say Garza if you get pulled over. GarzaLaw.com. Check them out. Thank you, Marcos, for being there. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll get our next call in of the night slash morning. Hello and welcome on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jim.
Hey, welcome in. Thank you for being there.
Hey, you know, I want to give the coaching staff a little bit of a pass. I think they did make a mistake of coming in too vanilla. I think they thought that they could just jam it down their throat. They did make one deep shot, and they connected on it. And I think if they would have made more, you know, shots downfield, even if they missed them, that would have opened up more running lanes for Hurd. But, I mean, I kind of put this a little bit on the players tonight, as much as I don't want to blame, you know, 20-21-year-old kids. But I think in the long run that this could be a positive. In 98, you know, it took a late field goal over Syracuse, which I do think was a better team than Appy State. But this is probably the fourth or fifth best team on our schedule. So let's just not, I mean, They're better than Vandy, Kentucky, South Carolina. And this was a pretty good
That's
team.
A pretty interesting point. I mean, that's a pretty good football team we played. And that's the thing, if I can say to you as a call, because I think it's a really good call, and it's a great thought. Doesn't our coaching staff have to know this is the fifth best team we're going to play? And don't they have to say, hey, it's really great that we've got a bye game on our schedule, because that's what App State is. They're a bye game. And it's really great that we're going to bring them in. And they're an opponent that unless we play a D-minus game, that can't beat us. That's what I thought of today's game coming in, and I still think that of today's game. Because I think we played a D-minus game, plus we were pretty damn vanilla, and we came really close to losing that game. I mean, if Josh Dobbs' fumble is recovered by them, I think eventually their kid makes a field goal. Now, it might have been from like the extra point range because he was scared to death out there. But I think you bring up a great point in that this was kind of a joint debacle tonight, and it still ends in a win. But don't they have to know, I'm asking you now, don't they have to say, hey, that's the fifth or sixth most talented team we're going to play this year?
That's kind of my point. I think that was their mistake. That was what their mistake was, that they did go in a little too vanilla, and they underestimated them to an extent, but I really think this team is that talented. This team should have, and I would have made a mistake. Russell, on your show today, you made the prediction that we were going to be them big.
Yeah.
I was in the same boat.
Yeah.
I think everybody underestimated them a little bit because this team is that talented.
Yes, they are.
And
I say this too.
I give them credit, and they're well coached too.
I wonder they're good
at what they do.
If Cam Sutton doesn't fumble, I picked Tennessee to win 52-6. That was stupid in hindsight.
But oh yeah.
If Cam Sutton doesn't fumble that first punt and Tennessee gets that and scores, I wonder how different the entire complexion of the game
is. There's no question. I mean, you get down 7-0 and you're planning on playing vanilla and you just know, hey, we're in a dogfight. I mean, you get the thing to halftime and we're in trouble. I'm looking at that game and I'm going, you know, we're kind of in trouble here,
yeah,
which is hard to comprehend.
And let me just make one comment on the Reeves Maven play before I get off the line. I think that play definitely deserves a penalty, but that play was not egregious enough for you to be kicked out of the game. In no other sport, when you make a play in the course of a game, do you get kicked out of?
No other sport, though, has guys scrambling their brains left and right, and they've got to do something. Here's the thing with football, guys, and we've got to come to grips with this, and I hope you can appreciate this. That's somebody's kid out there on that football field, and it is ultimately all of us should err on the side of caution. When a helmet goes helmet to helmet like that, that kid's going to get kicked out of the game 10 out of 10 times, and you have to do that. Otherwise, we're not going to have football. We're not.
I guess my point is I do think that Tennessee does make a conscious effort.
Oh, there's no question.
Right.
There's no.
I do think
it wasn't a cheap shot.
Right.
No, it wasn't a cheap shot. I agree with you. But you got to throw him out of the game. You got to throw him out of the game. It's the rule.
I mean, what other sport is throwing somebody out of the game
for
something like that?
It doesn't matter.
NFL's not throwing people out of the game for that.
It's NFL's not college football. You got to protect guys. College football's doing the right thing. They're just doing the right thing.
I mean, throw the flag.
Throw the flag.
So your same point is you're talking about this, you're protecting the kids.
Yes.
This is still a kid playing the game.
I want to protect kids. In other words, I want to punish a guy that goes helmet to helmet on somebody at the college level. And I don't apologize for that.
If it's egregious, if it's on purpose,
even if it's even
malicious, if you launch yourself at
somebody. I agree with what you're saying. However, how are we going to, for instance, the play with the Georgia kid last year that hurt Shy Tuttle. Was that a cheap shot?
Of course it was.
Now I've got Georgia friends.
You're never gonna get thrown out of the game for that.
Hang on a second. I've got Georgia friends that tell me that was not a cheap shot.
It was way more. I mean,
see, that's my point. How do we ascribe a 10?
We wasn't trying to hurt him, but you're never gonna get kicked out of the game for that play. You should be way more likely to get kicked out of the game than that.
But if he
did try to hit him with the shoulder. But he knelt down.
How do we ascribe intent, though? How do
I don't think anybody thinks JRM was trying to hurt.
No,
the
he
guy.
Wasn't.
It was just a bad.
I,
it was just
I think
a dumb
if you're viewing
play.
If you're viewing something over if you're viewing something over replay, I think educated people, which I'm not saying that they are, could judge intent. And to see if he's a malicious play
sometimes.
And he deserves to be.
Boy, I don't know. You're asking those officials to do a lot.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they are, but it was obvious that he was not malicious. He tried to lead with the shoulder. Mm. He knelt down. He got as low as he possibly could.
No doubt.
But the guy knelt down also.
No doubt. It was the ball carrier put himself in a perfect position to get absolutely clobbered, and he didn't fair catch. There's no question that what you're saying is 100% true, and it does have validity. I, however, am going to err on the side of protecting everybody involved. And it's for the betterment. These are people's kids.
I agree with you. It may not be possible. You may be totally correct that it's not possible. I just wish that we could take intent and malicious.
Well, I appreciate, and we're just looking at it right now. Thank you. They just replayed it. Bino, let me throw something to you because you love this topic, and then we'll go back to the phones. This league is getting ready to take over football games with those three men down there in SEC country, down there in a.k.a. Birmingham. And by the way, 865-200-5402 is our number again, 865-200-5402. Bino, tonight I saw something I don't think I've ever seen in a game. We ran a play. We hurried to the line, as we're coached to do. We ran a play, Bino, and then they called Tennessee back and said, that play you just ran doesn't count, even though Tennessee ran a play.
Yeah. Second time it's happened to Butch Jones since he's been here.
We're getting ready to see a new era here in the SEC. They're hell-bent on getting these three guys involved down there in the SEC office. Bino, are we not? Do you agree?
Yeah, we are, Tony, and it's always been the most over-officious officiating group in America.
Over-officious.
I'll just tell you something. Games, attending games now is just absolutely brutal. Mm. It's absolutely brutal. If it weren't for buddies that I've sat with since 1980, there is no way that I would attend the football game. Cause you just can't enjoy it.
Russell, we're watching.
Because all the breaks in the action.
Yeah.
And for some reason, the SEC sends its worst conditioned official 75 yards down the field to stand next to the red hat guy who stands out there for 25 minutes, and then he winds his arm, and it takes whoever the big guy, the biggest guy on the crew we've sent down, it takes him at least 10 minutes to run back to his position.
So you're telling me maybe they're sending their worst condition guy down there. Maybe he's counting his steps.
Yeah, they've got an in-game
fitness
program.
He's got one of those Fitbits on him.
Yeah, in-game fitness program that they're introducing this year as well.
It's like you're killing five birds at one stone. Dubs, you're rewatching the JRM play. Talk to me here. What'd you say?
I thought I recognized this while I was watching the game earlier.
Okay.
He motioned for a fair catch, the punt returner. If you watch, you got to watch the whole, they have one angle. It wasn't a very demonstrative one. He makes kind of a backstroke move almost. He doesn't wave hard, but he made the signal, and I mean, to me, it's even more on Maben. But
so he did make a fair catch signal, because I didn't see it. Bino, did you see that live, a fair catch signal on that play?
I did not, Tony. We were stunned that they said that it was fair catch interference, because I never saw a fair catch signal. I'm like you. I don't believe there was any intent whatsoever on Jalen Reeves' made boot.
No, he's a great player. He's not 30.
The rule is what the rule is, and it was applied correctly. He tried to turn his head,
right,
but the position, he was right on top of him in the position of the runner. It was going to be helmet to helmet, but
right,
that's what it was, and that's what the rule said.
And the rule for those listening to us around the world tonight, as part of All Nation, and there are 1,000 strong listening to us right now, the rule is that if it occurs in the first half, as that one did, you don't miss any time in the next game. But it's still punitive. You take him off the field tonight. And here's the thing about it. If you do that against Florida, you're out of that game. Do it against Georgia, you're out of that game. I mean, tonight you get away with it. That's one of the reasons why, Bino, I told Dubsy earlier tonight, I don't know if I'm putting my top guys, because this league is going to look to call that. I just know with those three guys in Birmingham, I don't know how wise it is to have those guys out there on punt coverage, because you're going to have a lot of those plays this year. You just are.
Now, Tony, I'm with you on this one. I understand if you don't have a deep football team, but when you've developed some depth and you've got some guys that are trying to get on the field,
yep,
like like Martin. Martin played great special teams tonight. He's trying to get back on the field.
Yep.
That I understand. Kamara almost got hurt tonight on special teams. We got Jalen Reeves-Maybin.
Doesn't make any sense.
Thrown out on special teams. I wouldn't do it. Not now that you've built some depth on your roster.
And Russell's line was, and hey, I'm open to this. Russell's line was, you know, up at Ohio State, Urban Meyer, he's won national championships playing that way.
Yep.
Okay. That's true. I'm not denying that. It's a great argument. It's a great argument. Let's go back to the phones. Get as many folks in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402 is our number. Russell Smith, you are with?
Fox Sports Knoxville, 1340 AM.
I follow you on Twitter, Hal?
At Russell the Drive.
My name's Tony Basilio. This is your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. That is Beano Jeff Henderson, who's with me tomorrow at 11 a.m. in the Raymere studio. Tonight, Tennessee's coaches put their handcuffs on Josh Dobbs. They put their handcuffs on the wide receivers. They put their handcuffs on their offensive line. And they let Hurd just get teed off on the night. That's essentially what tonight's game was. And they got out of there with a win because Hurd recovered a fumble at the end of the game. And you can't make that up. But that's exactly what happened tonight. That was a strange, weird. And Vol Colonel just said, the board called one of the worst games I've ever seen. It was an absolute snooze fest. That guy doesn't understand how to soften a defense. You got to throw the damn deep ball once a blue moon. I mean, is that what Michigan's offense is? I'm not that familiar with Michigan. When DeBoard was there, did they throw the ball up top to people? I thought I remember Michigan used to have a big receiver or two. They would throw the ball up top every once in a while.
Yeah, and they play power football then too, Tony.
That's true.
This is Butch Jones' offense.
Do you think that there might be some sort of subtle power struggle behind the scenes? Because we also had that one series where they played almost exclusively under center, which you know is a DeBoard influence because they've only done it the past 2 years while DeBoard is here. And I just wonder if part of it is DeBoard isn't fully committed, doesn't believe in running the spread.
Wow. Let's say this, ladies and gentlemen, on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. It's time for your Performance Medicine Top Performer.
It's time for the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the game. Presented by Performance Medicine. Perform at the top of your game with Performance Medicine. You can find it online at performancemedicine.net. And now, here's the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the game.
Performance Medicine, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to perform at the top of your game with Performance Medicine. Online at performancemedicine.net. Unbelievable people. They will take tremendous care of you. Dubsy, our Performance Medicine top performer of the game is
Jalen Hurd.
Jalen Hurd's won two awards tonight, Beano. Do you agree with that?
Well, I don't think there's any question, Tony. He was the workhorse on offense, and he recovers the fumble that wins the football game. So I don't believe there's any other possible candidate, unfortunately.
And I said earlier today about Jalen Hurd that Jalen Hurd is the most indispensable player on this Tennessee football team, and I stand behind that lock, stock, and barrel. Special assist tonight to Cortez McDowell, who comes in for JRM and has a hell of a game in his absence.
He had a nice game. I'd like to see Jalen Reeves-Maybin back.
Well, no kidding. Obviously, there's a drop-off there, but I give McDowell some credit
for coming in and playing well. Yeah, his first extended playing time since he's been here and did all right.
And you know what?
I don't know how he'll grade out, guys, but I thought Emmanuel Mosley played well tonight. He had a couple of plays where he was out on an island and made a tackle, and I thought he was good in coverage. Now, you know, the secondary coach might feel differently because I'm certainly not a football coach, but just watching it from the stands, I thought that he played well tonight as well.
And from an Appy State standpoint, I would give their entire coaching staff the top performer of the game. That was incredible what they did to Tennessee's coaches.
And Tony, I've heard a couple of, you've said a couple of things tonight that I couldn't agree with more. I do think, and the callers have mentioned it too, I do think that Tennessee's entire Big Orange Nation, from the coaching staff, the program, the players, the fans, I believe you underestimated this football team that they played tonight. I think you're exactly right. I believe they thought they could be as vanilla as they could possibly be, and they never got into any offensive rhythm because of it. And the other thing that you said that I couldn't agree with more is, there's no better thing than to get some lessons learned without a loss coming with it. And we were very fortunate that that's what happened tonight. We can just count our stars that's the best lesson you can learn is one where you don't lose.